Well, please do turn back with me to Isaiah 55. We're on page 654. I'm just rereading verses 6 and 7, which I like to focus on this morning. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Today we're thinking about approaching God. And the more important someone is, sometimes the more intimidating it is and scary it can be to approach them. I remember once a long time ago I worked in a car dealership in Cardiff in the accounts department, and I had to write some of the checks, but I wasn't allowed to sign the checks. I had to go to the boss, and I remember the boss was quite a fierce sort of man, not someone you'd want to upset. And I had these checks that needed signing. I could see he was busy, and I was sort of thinking, how do I do? I just interrupt him, and he was very happy to do that. It wasn't a problem at all, and I got used to it. But for that moment, I was thinking, ooh, is he going to be annoyed with me if I interrupt him now? And that was just approaching a boss. I was just approaching someone, a fellow human being. And yet, how much more of a great thing is it to be approaching God? And there can be two directions in which we go when we think about approaching God. And one direction is that we're so afraid of God that we are a bit like me with that check. We just think, I can't, I'm too much of a sinner. All I can do is just run away. I'm too sinful. It can't happen. So one thing is to run away. And then the other thing just seems to be, and we do see that today as well, is that there seems to be the right respect, if you see what I mean, a kind of lightness that just, yeah, you know, we come into God's presence and, you know, it's all just a light thing, and we're not really thinking about what we're doing. But how does the Bible tell us we should approach God? And so I'd like to think about when we can approach God, firstly, and then we'll think about who can approach God, and then thirdly, how we approach God. So when, who, and how we approach God. So firstly then, when can we approach God? Because this is an important thing, and it's very important in especially concerning evangelism and thinking about people, other people, bringing them to God. So verse 6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. We have an opportunity. We live in the age of grace. We live in the age where the door of heaven is wide open, and all who come to God can be let in. But the Bible does say that that is not something that's going to last forever. Have you ever missed an opportunity? You've had the opportunity to do something, and you've missed it. It might be that there's something that you've wanted to buy, and you've seen it at a reduced price, and you think, that's an incredible thing. Will I spend that money on it? And that's a clever trick, isn't it, to get you to buy the thing? But it's kind of annoying sometimes when you perhaps end up paying the full price when you know you could have got it reduced. And I remember there was this big concert in Bath once, a classical concert with some famous singers and things, and they were giving out free tickets, and all you had to do was to register, you know, to be put on the ballot for it. There were so many tickets that it was quite likely you'd get one, but I was just busy at the time and kept putting it off, thinking I'll do it another time. And then it happened and I didn't do it. And then the concert was amazing and that was like this amazing orchestra and everything. And I thought, it was free. I really wish I'd just taken up that opportunity. And so is the story of life, isn't it? That every day we get small and big opportunities to do different things, and sometimes we take those opportunities, other times we don't. But those things pale in comparison to the opportunity of knowing God, the opportunity of approaching God. What an awesome thing it is to be able to enter the presence of God as a Christian, as someone who has had their sins forgiven, who, because Jesus died and took the anger that God had for us because of our sin, he took that anger away. And so that means we now can approach a God who loves us, delights in us, and sees us as he sees the Lord Jesus Christ. It is an incredible thing. And we should long for all people to turn to God. And if you haven't approached God before, then you really need to do this, because we can approach God now, but one day there's coming a time when that opportunity will no longer be there. The world isn't going to last forever, and we know our lives are not going to last forever, that one day we are all going to die, and we're going to face an eternity one way or the other, either punishment or the joy and presence of God. So the Bible is very clear that this is the time to repent. We sometimes like to think, oh, well, maybe there'll be a second chance, or that's the way people like to think. But this says, the verse says, seek the Lord while he may be found, call on him while he is near. And there's a sense in which God is near to this world now by his Spirit through his church, longing that people would come to him, longing that his own people would worship him and spend that time in his presence. This is what we read in Luke 16, where Jesus talks about what happens after we die. And he's talking about a rich man that dies, and the rich man isn't a Christian. He doesn't know God. And says this: Abraham says to the rich man, this is in the afterlife, in eternity, between us and you a great chasm has been fixed. So Abraham's in heaven and this poor rich man is in hell. And Abraham says to him, between us and you a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. And so it just makes it very clear, doesn't it, that in the end our eternal destiny is our eternal destiny. It's too late to be able to repent, and it may seem unfair, but actually there's a sense in which at that point, without the Spirit of God moving and without the grace of God moving, no one would repent anyway. Because without that grace, we in ourselves won't do that. And so, actually, whatever way you look at it, it's too late then. And that's why the urgent thing is that we think about these things now. Now is the time. It's never too late in this life to turn to God, as we'll see a little bit later as we think a little bit about the thief on the cross. That's actually tonight. I'm going to be thinking a little bit about that. We do have this opportunity, and God longs for us, for sinners to turn to him. So we need to bear that in mind. I remember visiting a guy in London. I was working for a charity called London City Mission, and it worked in some of the poorer estates in central London. Central London's a strange thing, because you go and you see Big Ben and all those vastly expensive buildings and houses, and you don't realise at the time, just over the other side of the river is an estate, a housing estate, where there are lots of people that don't have much money, and they have issues like you'd have anywhere in this country or on those sorts of places. And it was strange. I would go and visit this alcoholic sometimes, and you could hear Big Ben in the background doing its bongs. And it opened up my horizons to London, because you tend to, if you were to visit London, you visit those touristy bits and not realise that there's another side as well. But there was another guy there who lived in that area called Bill. And Bill was quite anti-Christian in a way. He was just someone that he just really didn't want to know. I mean, he was a nice guy and he was friendly and everything. But he just, Christianity-wise, he just didn't want to know about that sort of thing. And then his wife became very ill. And he said, if God heals her, then I'll become a Christian. And I hate him at the moment, but, you know, if she just gets better, then I'll become a Christian. And she did, thankfully, become better. But then, what did Bill do? Well, he just went back to his old ways and said, oh, no, I'm not going to follow God, you know. And then, sadly, Bill died. And I don't know what on his deathbed. I wasn't there at the very end, so I don't know. I can't speak about his last moments. But sadly, that opportunity, his life was ended. He had the opportunity. God even, in a sense, answered his prayer and healed his wife. But then he thought, oh, I'm not really going to be bothered with this. And then the opportunity was gone. And so this is the importance that we do see the urgency of the gospel. So we've seen that we can approach God now, that the door is open. But secondly, we're looking at who can approach God. And actually, we've already been thinking about it. It says there, let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. I think it says the unrighteous man in the King James. The incredible thing about this presence of God and the throne of God is that it is a throne that is open to sinners. And when we think about the Queen and how exclusive and rare an opportunity it is to get to meet the Queen, you've either got to be a head of state, a leader of another country, probably a leader of quite a large other country to be able to get the honour of meeting the Queen. Or you've got to maybe have an award like a knighthood or something in order to be invited to go and meet the Queen. And when they give out these knighthoods, it's not like they just give them randomly to anyone. You've got to have perhaps done a great sporting achievement, perhaps broken a world record or something. Or perhaps you're a millionaire and you've given loads of money to start charities and things, you might get a knighthood for that. But you don't expect ordinary people just to randomly be invited to get a knighthood and to meet the Queen. That wouldn't be expected. But actually, it gets even weirder, because it's not merely like just someone off the street being invited to go to a state banquet with the Queen. But it's actually like someone going to one of the Queen's footmen and servants going to a prison and saying, I'd like one of you to come and meet the Queen. That you just wouldn't expect that to happen. That's the last place on earth you'd expect them to be looking for guests to a state banquet. And yet, God's throne is so much greater than the Queen's throne. God is glorious. God is the one that made all the stars. God is the one that rules over all generations. The Queen is famous today, but no one knew of her 100 years ago, and no one will be so aware of her in the future. I mean, I expect she won't be forgotten, but she's there for one generation and then gone. But God remains there. He is the almighty creator of everything. The Bible tells us although I gave the example there of going to a prison and inviting them there, the Bible says that in the book of Romans, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. When we think of wicked people in prison, we're really comparing them to us. We're comparing them to the ordinary. And so compared to us, yeah, they seem really bad because they've done murder or whatever it might be. But when it comes to approaching God, we're not comparing each other with the guy next door to us, but we're comparing ourselves with God. That's the only standard that really matters. God is the only one who matters, because he is God and he is the one we are approaching. And so while we may in our own way be seen as a good moral person and actually try to do a lot of good, help people, share things, that kind of thing, compared to God and in the presence of God, none of us can stand, because God is perfect. He has never sinned and he never will sin. And he is holy and he actually hates sin. He cannot look upon it. Because he is so just and good, he cannot just tolerate sin. And that creates a huge problem. Because how can we then, as sinners, come to God? And the wonderful thing is, because of the Lord Jesus Christ and how he took our sins upon himself, he became the filthy, dirty, shameful sacrifice that was given for us, that we would be clothed in the white robes of his righteousness. What an incredible exchange that was. And the wonderful thing is that even the worst sinner in the world, even me, even us, can come to God. Not because we're better than those people out there, because we are, deep down we are all sinners, but because of what Jesus has done and how we are clothed. So how then do we approach God? We've thought about the timing, how the opportunity is now. We've thought about how anyone can come to God, because even the worst sinner can turn and be saved and be as loved by God and as accepted by God as the murderer that repents and turns, because we're all one in Christ. How do we go about approaching God? Well, we see a couple of pieces of language used here in verses 6 and 7. So we are to seek the Lord. We are to call upon the Lord. We are to turn to the Lord. That's in the forsaking of the way, so turning from our evil ways. And we are to receive that pardon that he gives. He is the one that saves us. And actually, part of that coming to God as we return to him is actually just accepting a free gift that God has given us. What an awesome thing it is that the way in which we are saved, the way in which we are declared to be a child of God, is a free gift. It's not like we have to try and save up money in our spiritual bank accounts by doing lots of good. You know, it's like sin is a withdrawal and then good deeds are a deposit. That's how a lot of people see getting right with God. So yeah, okay, so I've lived a life of sin, so I've made a lot of withdrawals from my account, and now I'm in the overdraft, I'm in the red. And so what I've got to do is make a lot of payments, and then I can get back into the positive payments. But actually, it doesn't work like that. Because as sinners, even our good deeds are stained, are tainted, and they don't count. It's kind of like trying to pay off your overdraft with Monopoly money. It doesn't work. There's only one thing that can take away our sins, and that is the mercy and the power of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we receive that gift? We seek God. We call on him. We talk about the salvation by grace alone, but that doesn't mean that we just carry on doing what we're doing and just expect there to be a bolt of lightning that's going to just save us. No, we do have to seek God. We do have to turn to him. We have to forsake our way, turn away from evil and turn to God. But in the end, salvation is something that God does to us. It's not something that we do. Salvation is something that God does to us. And God will never turn away anyone that truly seeks him, that truly turns away from sin. God will never turn anyone away. Forgiveness through Jesus Christ is guaranteed to those who call on his name. Those who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. What a wonderful generation we live in. What a wonderful gift we have to share. If we just found, loads of money or something, we might want to share it. And we'd be excited about it. And yet we have something that is so much greater than money. We have the very way of eternal life. We have the path that can save anyone. There is no one that this message is not for. Even people that aren't intellectual, don't find reading easy, it doesn't matter. This is God's work. And all we need to do is to turn to God, turn away from our sins, and trust that when Jesus died on that cross, he died for me. He died, he took my sins away. And as we do that, we realise that he really did do that. We feel like the book Pilgrim's Progress, some of you may have read that. Well, there's this man called Christian, and he has this weight on his back, and he's carrying it around. It's like a kind of backpack, very heavy, but it's kind of built into his back, and he's just burdened by this, and it's his sin, it's the guilt of his sin. And then when he goes to the cross and meets the Lord Jesus Christ and realizes that Jesus bore all the punishment for that sin, then the burden falls off and it rolls down the hill and he's free and he rejoices. And actually, as Christians, don't you find sometimes the devil attacks and we feel just burdened by our sin? We feel, oh, I'm not the Christian I should be. How can I even pray today because of my sin? But whenever you feel like that, you should pray anyway. You should come into the presence of God anyway, because that is the perfect time to be reminded of the grace of God. He's the sinner's God. He's the sinner's saviour. And as soon as you realise you're backslidden, as soon as you realise you've sinned and you need to be in the presence of God, you think, I feel so empty and I miss that presence of God. As soon as you realise that, come back to him. Don't be fooled into thinking that you've got to kind of make it right. And then eventually when you've sort of got back on track, then you can kind of think about praying more. No, that doesn't work. Only God can bring you back. In our relationships, it does work a bit like that. If you do something really wrong against someone, really wicked, and you upset someone, then you have to kind of make up. You have to apologize, and you have to maybe try to repair what you've broken. But with God, we don't have to wait until we've made up, because we're always going to be a mess and we cannot repair that, but God can. And he, by his Spirit, can bring us back into that wonderful place where we are knowing that we are a child of God, that we are knowing that he is our Father. What an awesome God we have. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for these simple promises that you've given here, that we may find you, Lord, that we may seek you. I thank you that this is the age in which you may be found. We long to see so many people turning to you when In many ways it is so simple, Lord. It takes a miracle, and yet it really is quite simple, Lord, that we just need to turn away from sin and turn to you and submit to you, Lord. And so we just pray that you would do this miracle in our lives every day, that we would walk with you and know that joy instead of, Lord, going to that pig food, Lord, that seems attractive, Lord, but is pig food. Help us, Lord, to enjoy the banquet, the wonderful food of the bread of life that is available every day to us, we pray. We long for more of your presence in our life, Lord, and to know you more deeply. Thank you that we can, that however we feel that that's not going to happen, Lord, help us to have the faith that we can know you dearly every day, and to know the joy of Jesus Christ, our Saviour, and walking with him. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to close our service today with a song.